I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading from this is the New American Standard Version, and then we'll be speaking from the New King James Version. So Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Father, we pray now you would quicken our hearts and minds and open our hearts to receive in faith and thankfulness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated together. Everyone knows the Christmas story. It's in the carols, it's on the Christmas cards, we see it in the school nativities. But do people know the meaning? We could say the secret of the gospel of Christmas. Do people know the secret of the manger, of the man, of the cross, of the tomb, of the gospel? It is a secret that really God alone can share with people. You think of the irony of having a certain measure of knowledge and in one way being so close and yet so far and yet so close. Perhaps you remember sitting in religious education classes or such like and never hearing the gospel. And then the time when you first heard the gospel, do you remember that? When there was a light that came on in your life where you felt you understood perhaps for the first time what the gospel was. The Christmas carol asks the all-important question, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping?" What child is this? Or Jesus asked the question in his public ministry to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," or Peter, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." It's a secret that God would share. Who is he? Why did he come? And what does it mean for us? We really are blessed. You sense the blessing on your life today, that we are blessed for the illumination that we have, for the understanding that we have as born-again believers on the gospel. We were truly blind, but now we see. It says in 1 John 5, "And we know that the Son of God has come." Praise God. We know that. It has been shown to us. We understand it. We know it and we believe it, that the Son of God has come to us and given us an understanding. We did not have that understanding, but now we have it by his Spirit. that we may know him who is true. Look at this. And we are in him who is true. We know that he came. We know him personally. And we also have this knowledge that we are in him. And that speaks of our security in salvation in the person of Christ. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So knowing who this child is, we come to with certain wonder in our hearts to our text this morning in Luke 2, and she brought forth her firstborn son. This is an echo of what we read in Matthew 1 when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. So in his name, the meaning is salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. And here is the good news predicted, that a savior will be born. He would physically save the nation of Israel, and they had that expectation, but also spiritually, there is salvation. Is that still working? Still on? Okay. But spiritual salvation offered to all those who believe. Verse, back to our verse 2:7, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. This phrase portrays the ministry that Jesus would have on the earth, that there was no room for them in the inn. There really has never been room for Jesus in this world system. This would typify his coming to earth. We read in John 1, and let's remember that John 1 starts off by saying, the Word who was God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we read in 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To those who what? Believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There is no room for Jesus in the inn, or in this world, or in this world system, or in the nation at that time. But for those who did receive him, for as many who did believe in him, he gave them the right and the power to become children of God. What an incredible wonder and truth, high truth that is. And this sets the stage now for the account of the shepherds who also believed. And this is in our next verse. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. These men were privileged to hear the first announcement after the birth of Christ. There was nothing extraordinary about them. They were not in the highest levels or strata of society. They were simple shepherds out in the field, and everything was about to change for them. They were ordinary, common people, dare I say it, just like us. And God appeared to them. And their lives would never be the same. They were watching their flock. Bethlehem is about 5-6 miles or so from Jerusalem. Many of these lambs would have been used in the temple sacrifices. There's a certain irony, even a beauty, about the fact that shepherds would be the first ones to behold the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. In verse 9, and we can imagine this sight, quiet, it's nighttime, it's quiet, maybe there's a fire crackling, a few lambs bleating, it's quiet. And then all of a sudden, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Of course they were. Imagine in a moment, if the curtain could be pulled back and the invisible angels could be made visible. And this is what happened. And not only was the angel there, but it says the glory of the Lord appeared. This is the Shekinah glory. This is the visible presence of God, making known his presence visibly in that moment. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were greatly afraid. One of Luke's classic understatements. Of course they were greatly afraid. Who wouldn't be? And then verse 10, and the angel said to them, and of course, this is why the angel came. The angel was a messenger. He came from heaven to earth with a message, the greatest news that could ever be brought to the earth. And all of heaven, you can imagine, is focused on this moment. All of the angelic hosts looking in on this quiet field with these shepherds and the angel who was sent as a messenger, it has heaven's complete focus, although the earth perhaps was sleeping on, oblivious to what was happening. And then the angel says, do not be afraid. And that's normally the first thing any angel says. Understandably, do not be afraid. He says, because I bring you good news of great joy to all people. Notice that. Good news that if you understand it, will bring great joy to all people. Love that. To all people. Who? All people. To Jews and Gentiles, to Muslims, to Hindus, to atheists. Have you ever, you know, gone to share the gospel with someone? They say, oh, I'm an atheist. And you say, well, how much more? This is for you. Oh, I'm a Muslim. Okay, great. This is for you. This message is for you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He has a plan for you. This is for all people. No one is excluded from this message. This message is for all people. This is Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It's not abstract. It's not distant. It's not just for them. It's for us. It's to all men. God so loved the world. And here is the announcement. Here is the announcement that is good news that brings great joy to all people. Verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this would ring with the familiarity of the scriptures, the Old Testament. The seed of the woman, the seed of Judah, a virgin will give born. Unto us a child is born, etc. The prophets had spoken and again and again. And this was the day, the angel was saying to them, this is the day that all the prophets have spoken of. It is the coming of the Lord. And notice it says, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior. And of course, this is why he came, is it not? Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came that he may seek and what? Save the lost. This is why he came, to seek and save. Look at this, 1 John 4:14. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that astounding? And you may remember the story in John 4 where Jesus meets the woman of Samaria at the well. And afterwards she goes into the village and she tells everyone. And this is what they say to the woman. They say, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we have heard him ourselves. And they know that this indeed is the Christ. And they use this same phrase, the Savior of the world. Think of this phrase, Savior. It implies that you need to be saved from something. There is a warning, a threat, a consequence that you must be saved from. Right? To save people from their sins in Matthew 1. She will bear a child and his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins and the consequences of their sins. This is what it means in John 3:16. It says, shall not perish. This is the carol that says, fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy, he came to save. John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Acts 16:30, remember in the jail, in the Philippian jail, the jailer runs to Paul and falls and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answers in the clearest possible terms, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then to capstone that passage in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask someone, what do you think you have to do to get to heaven? What do you think a person has to do to be saved? And they may answer in different ways. Oh, let us bring them to these verses, these truths. Let us bring the gospel to them. And it is whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. A few more, because I don't feel you're getting it yet. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's a great verse to bring someone to. I think I get to heaven by being a good person. Read this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us. Of course, Ephesians 2, that wonderful passage on salvation, speaking of God being rich in mercy with the great love which he loved us. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And again in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Amazing. We were dead in our sins. We were without Christ. We were without God. We were without hope. We were far off. But he has brought us near. So near, the Bible uses the term in Christ. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no other name under heaven given to men by which he must be saved. Must be saved. This is good news of great joy to all people. What does a Savior do? He saves. Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, it says. And Christ, of course, is from the Hebrew word Meshiach. It means anointed one. It's used in Daniel 9 and Psalm 2 and other places. And the Greek translation of that is Christos. It's where we get the word Christ. Christ is not his name, it's his title. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the Christ. It says Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, the word Lord is often used as a term of honor. In the New Testament, it's always used with a capital L for Jesus, recognizing his divinity. It's a designation of one who is sovereign and seen as ultimate authority. The Greek Old Testament, so the Old Testament written in Hebrew, but the Greek translation of the Old Testament uses this word, kurios, Lord, 7,000 times to speak of Yahweh, to speak of God. And the same word is used in the New Testament referring to Jesus. 717 times it refers to Jesus. 163 of them are by Paul in his epistles, identifying him with the God of the Old Testament. And then the angel says, back to our passage in Luke 2, this will be a sign to you. This will be a sign to you that Christ, the Lord, the Savior, is born. This will be a sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He doesn't tell them to go, by the way. He assumes that they will. Perhaps they were seekers. Perhaps they were waiting. Perhaps they were believing. We don't know. But he says, when you come into the town, there's a sign that you are looking for that will confirm this to you, that he will be laid in a manger. And this is a feeding trough for an animal. Of course, very unusual for a baby to be laid in a manger, so much so that it would serve as a sign for these shepherds. Not a halo, not a glow, just this simple wooden manger. We notice that the circumstances of both his birth and his death were that of humiliation. He would be wrapped in linen at his birth. He would be wrapped in linen at his death in the tomb. But on earth, humiliation. But in the heavens, he was being exalted and worshipped and glorified. Look at the next verse. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now I always connect this word suddenly to what the angel has just said. On that word of him saying to the shepherds, this will be a sign. The baby will be wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. Again, depicting this, the humility and the incredible reality that the angels would understand of God becoming a man and dwelling on the earth as a man. God the Son taking on flesh and being born in a manger. And that was enough to send the angelic host into incredible praise. It was with the angel. Suddenly, again, the curtain pulled back further and the angels were there and praising God and saying. And what were they saying? Two things. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Glory to God and goodwill, peace towards men. Now, this second phrase is a little bit difficult for translators. In the one we read, you may have heard it. It's and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's the NASV or the ESV. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And the idea here is, remember 11:6 of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So there is peace extended and promised and given to those who believe, who respond with faith. This is why Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a partner to this verse here in Luke 2:14. And the next verse here, and so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. What a moment. The curtain pulled back. All of a sudden, it is a silent night again. And one of the shepherds obviously breaks the silence, and the others join in. And they begin to agree together, and they say to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see that thing that has come to pass. Now, there's a few wonderful things to pluck out of this verse. First of all, note that they believed. They said, let us go see this thing that has come to pass. It reminds us of the wise men. Where is the king who has been born? They came in faith on the wings of the words, of the promise of what they had just heard. They responded in faith. Let us go now and see the thing that has come to pass, the Messiah being born. And this is the basis of which they went on. That which had been, look at the last phrase, what the Lord has made known to us. And can't we say the same this morning? That something has been made known to us? That we heard and believed, and we continue in the word, and we continue as believers, and we rejoice in the truth. As believers on our journey. And notice in that phrase where it says, let us see this thing that has come to pass. The Greek word for the word thing, let us see this thing, is rhema. It means an utterance. It means a word that has been made known to us. It means truth that has been personally revealed through this word. Let us go and see this rhema that has been made known to us, that has come to pass. Beautiful. And notice that also we'll pick out the word there, now. Let us go now. Don't you love that? Not later, not tomorrow, not another day. We're not going to wait. We're going to respond immediately. We have heard a word from God, and what will we do with it? And that's the same for you and I today, as hearers of the word. We hear it, and we must respond to it. And we say, let us go now. If God speaks to my heart, if I sense conviction, if truth is revealed, I want to be a responder to God. I want to live by faith and say, yes, Lord. And I want to go and move and respond. And this is what they did. They went to Bethlehem. If they had gone later, he wouldn't have been there. But they went immediately, verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They heard, they went, they saw. Where can we see him today? We need to go to Bethlehem or Jerusalem. Where can we go? Where can we see him? We also must go by faith. If someone told you of a place that you could go and you could meet him, you could sense his presence, you could hear his voice, you want to go there, wouldn't you? And this is why we are gathered here this morning. We are not just traditional Christians. It's not about going to church and church attendance, but we want to see him. We want to meet him. We want to hear his word. We want to be quickened afresh by the Holy Spirit. We understand in our journey of life, we need this place or a place like this, whatever that means in our Christian journey. I need to be a hearer of the word where I sense the conviction and I, in Jesus' name, amen. Wow, something was ministered to me. The word was opened to me. I was quickened in my faith once again. And I realize I can't afford to have long circuits without hearing the word. I can't go weeks and months and think that I'm doing okay. And sometimes people say that, I know I have, COVID, I know it's been a year since I've been to church, but I'm doing okay. And I used to think, I don't know if you're doing as well as you think you are. We all need to hear the word because our soul cleaves to the dust, but quicken us according to your word, as the psalmist said. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying, and interestingly enough, this is also rhema. They made known the rhema which was told them concerning this child. That's beautiful. They made known the saying, the rhema, which was told them concerning this child. So these shepherds were not only the first to hear this good news, but the first to go and take it to others, the first to declare it. And what was it they made known? Notice the wording carefully. They made known the saying which was told them. They echoed or communicated exactly what was told them in the declaration by the angel. That was what they were made known. What was it? That there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This was their message. A Savior has been born to you this day, right now. And all those who heard it, verse 17, marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And that's a beautiful verse. I love that effect, and to think of the word and the gospel making hearts marvel, that's amazing. But it doesn't say that they believed. It says there was wonder, they marveled. Oh, did you hear what the shepherds said? Wow, well, that's some. It doesn't say that they believed. And many may hear the gospel, they may marvel, they may go to a church service and hear a message and hear about prophecies and hear about Jesus and say, wow, that's amazing. But do they believe? That's different. Do they believe the words, the content, the message, the gospel? But it says those who heard it marveled. And of course, our hearts marvel also. It reminds me of Luke 4. Remember when Jesus went into the synagogue and he took the scroll and he finds the place in Isaiah 6 and he reads it. And that's where it says, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, etc. And he reads that passage. And then he says, this day this passage is fulfilled in your ears. And it says that they marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. And we do also, don't we? We marvel at the gracious words that come out of his mouth that we find in this book, that God is so gracious and loving and kind and patient and caring. We hear about the gospel and our hearts marvel again and again. Our last two verses, verse 19, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And of course she did. She had been visited by an angel also. And then Joseph also had been visited, and Zacharias also. And now the shepherds came, and we don't know the conversation, but we can only imagine the shepherds would explain their arrival by the fact that they just had a message from an angel. And Joseph and Mary would look at each other, and they understood what that meant, for it happened to them. And Zacharias also, especially when his tongue was loosed, he was able to describe that encounter as well. And this would have been a very important confirmation once again in their hearts. So she pondered these things in her heart. And then lastly, verse 20, a fitting verse for us to end on together. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Notice they heard, but because they believed, they also saw. Some people say, well, if I see, I believe. And you're like, it doesn't work like that. If you believe, you'll see. Come and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say see and then come. It says, come and see that the Lord is good. You come by faith. You say, oh, if I have my question answered, oh, then I'll come. Why don't you come? And then your question will be answered. More than your question, but your life will be answered if you come by faith. When you hear, you come, and then you see. And again, it adds that phrase, as it was told them. That wonderful confirmation. It would never be the same, these men. How could they be? They had been brought into an incredible reality of the person of God in their life. It says they were glorifying and praising God about what they had heard, what they had seen, what had been made known to them as it was told them. And can't we say the same? Aren't we people of praise also because of what has been made known to us, what we have heard, what we have seen? We are such blessed people. Blessed are you, Peter. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And oh, Thomas, blessed are you because you see and you believe. But more blessed, no, sorry. Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. And who is he talking about? Us. He's talking about believers by faith who believed and then they also see. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this simple but profound message from heaven to earth that a Savior has been born, a Savior who saves the least, the worst, the furthest, who saves there is no one excluded from saving grace, that you can save any and all who call on you in a moment of faith. We thank you for the gospel, for the clarity, the simplicity, the power. Oh, and we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Perhaps you're visiting this morning or listening online, and in your heart you can respond, be a responder in faith. You have heard, now come, just like the shepherds did, come by faith. In your heart say, oh Lord, I come to you by faith. I want to believe, I take a step of faith, hear my prayer. I put my faith in you, God. I put my faith in Jesus and who he is and what he has done for me, that he died for my sins, that he might be my Savior. Jesus, I trust you and ask you to come into my life and be my Savior today and reveal yourself to me. Then we pray for each one here, each believer, each person. We thank you for your love for us, for your ministry to our hearts again. Thank you for illumination, for your spirit to quicken us afresh again to a living faith in the living God. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.